It is always my joy to get a message through one of my elders that I have an opportunity to come and serve the people of God in this place. I appreciate your love for me and for your good attention to the Word of God again and again as I've been among you. Let's turn, please, this evening to Psalm 84. I'm just going to read one verse, which is the subject of our meditation this evening, Psalm 84 and verse 10. The psalmist has been pleading with God for his blessing upon this man's worship, and he gives the reason why he wants to meet with God in verse 10, "For a day in your courts is better than a thousand outside. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." I know that you use the Psalms in your worship this evening. We have already read a number of the Psalms and sung some of the Psalms back to God in our worship. And this is a very good practice, which is sanctioned by the Scriptures themselves. The Scriptures themselves tell us that we ought to worship God with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It is our glad practice at Trinity Baptist Church to worship with the Psalms as well. The Psalms are a fit vehicle for our worship, because they contain the record of a godly soul in the presence of God. In the Psalms, we have the heart of godly Israelites drawing near to God in worship. That's why the Psalms are there. There are none of the Psalms which are there for any other purpose than to guide the believing Israelite into the presence of God. That's why we have it on many of the Psalms. We have the title, "For the Choir Director." It's saying this is not, it's fit for private worship, of course, but it is primarily for the purpose of public worship. And then we find in the New Testament, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the New Testament writers quoted the Psalms as examples of the faith and experience of New Covenant believers. When the Apostle Paul in Romans 4 writes regarding justification by faith and the blessedness of the man whose sins have been forgiven, he quotes Psalm 32. Paul has no problem expressing how believers feel about the forgiveness of sins in the language of Psalm 32. In Hebrews 13:6, there is another expression, a direct quotation of Psalm 118, as the disposition of the trusting people of God. The Psalms are regarded as mirroring New Testament realities. In Hebrews chapter 2, the writer quotes Psalm 22, Christ engaging in worship with us. And exhortations are drawn from the Psalms, particularly in 1 Peter chapter 3. We have a quotation of Psalm 34, bringing direct exhortation to the people of God from the Psalms. And so you find that we are not in the wrong place when we turn in our Bibles to the Psalms. The Psalms are fitting expressions of public worship for the New Covenant people of God. There are things in the Psalms which pertain directly to the Old Covenant people, but if we keep this in mind, we will still find many good principles of godliness that have not changed since the days of the Old Covenant people of God. So the Psalms are valuable for us. We find in the Psalms a rich variety of believing heart religion. We find a repository, a treasury of believing experience and believing worship, such as we find no place else in our Bible. So I want you to think about how fitting it is for us to consider this particular psalm and this particular verse for us as believers today. It is crucial for us to understand what the psalmist is saying and why he is saying it. A day in your courts, he says, is better than 1,000 beside a day, not a part of a day, not the morning of the day. He says, a day in your courts. We'll come back to that point in a little bit. But I'm sure you will realize, as Christians, that not everybody regards the worship of God the way you do. Certainly unbelievers do not. But even among those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many people, perhaps they are Christians who go to other churches, they are people in your family, who say, why do you have to go back to church tonight? You were there in the morning, you attended a Sunday school, you heard your pastor preach this morning and you said how very good it is. Why are you going back to church tonight? Isn't once in the house of God enough? Well, certainly the psalmist did not think that spending just a little portion of a day among the people of God, worshiping God, was sufficient. And this is an important issue in our day. You'll be discouraged sometimes with people who, with whom you think, oh, I have good fellowship with these brethren, and yet they are not at all zealous to come to the house of God again and again for the worship of God on any particular Lord's Day. And so that's what I want to bring to you this evening, the example of this psalmist and the reasons why he says that he wants to spend a day in God's courts. It is God's courts desired most for this psalmist. We're going to look in the first place this evening at a brief overview of the psalm. It's very important when we interpret the scriptures, again, to consider the flow of thought, all of the things that contribute to the psalmist's statements. We're going to look in the second place at an exposition of verse 10, his overwhelming preference for public worship. And then in the third place this evening, we're going to consider the reasons for his preference. Why is it that the psalmist should say, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 beside? Why should he prefer public worship in the way that he does? Well, there are many good reasons. I hope God will bless to our understanding this evening. So first of all, a brief overview of the psalm. This psalm is both a celebration of public worship and a spiritual song to be used in public worship. We have songs like this about our countries, songs which are a celebration of our country, perhaps, and then which are meant to be sung in celebration as well. And this is the kind of thing we have in Psalm 84. It is a psalm about worship, and it is a